Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Now, there are people who inspire you to dream, and then there are people who dare you to wake up. My guest today, oh man, he is the latter. Percy Singo didn't just read books about discipline, delayed gratification, or financial freedom. He lived them, page by painful page. He paid off, listen to this, a 20-year bond in just 39 months. Not because he earned a miracle, but because he made a decision. But here's the kicker. This conversation is not just about money. It's about mastery. It's about what becomes possible when a man stops outsourcing his power and starts architecting his life the same way he's trained to design roads and bridges with intention, integrity, and no room for shortcuts. He's a civil engineer by profession, property investor and sought-after financial speaker by craft, and an author by necessity, because his story needed to be told. But more than that, Percy is proof that ordinary people can make extraordinary decisions when they stop waiting and start working the blueprint. So today, we're not just talking finances, we're talking freedom, philosophy, and life generally. We're pulling back the curtain on what it really takes to build a life you don't need a holiday from. Percy Singo, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being the show.
I'd love for us to get into the real architecture of your life, shall we?
Oh, yes.
Now, here's a fun fact I might know about you that I don't know a lot of people know. Your other name is Moraro.
Yes, my vendor name is Moraro.
Love it.
But it's a name that is not on the ID, I gave it to myself later on.
Tell us about that.
Yes. No, it was just the issue of not having a vendor name. So I decided to say, if I'm vendor, at least
there's
I must have
a vendor
name. There's got
to be something that shows for it.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to talk about you. Before the houses, before the book, before the career, before the budgets, Percy, what belief did you have to bury in order to become the man we see now?
Yeah, I think for me it was more about attitude.
Uh-huh.
To say from the young age, I had the, I can say, right attitude towards life. To say even though you are from a family which is not a well-to-do family, you can still achieve whatever you dream to achieve.
Yeah.
So I had that mindset in such a way that I was not worried about what was going around me, what was going on around me. So I was more focused on where I was going.
Yeah.
So if you didn't know that I'm from a family which is not financially privileged, you wouldn't assume that I'm from that family, because I had the happiness and the excitement towards life without worrying about what I was going through.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting, because I often say first you need to see that it's possible, and then you need to believe that it's possible for you, right? But also, before you can believe it, you have to see it. So I'm curious to know what you were seeing that was contrary to what you were actually living that developed that attitude in you. What was informing your dreams?
Yes, I believe that a life is like you must have a mindset which is like a map.
Okay.
You must have a map of where you want to see yourself.
Mm.
And then you start working towards getting there.
Yeah.
So I had that mind map to say I want to see myself achieving 1, 2, 3.
Mm.
And even today, most of those things, I haven't even achieved them.
Oh, wow.
So maybe to somebody, they can say this person is successful. Mm. But to me, I feel like there's a lot of there's a journey which I still need to go through.
Yeah. But I still want to poke at that, right? Because if I went to a child right now who has never seen a map and I say, draw a map to me, they wouldn't know where to start, right? So for you to even develop a map that's got those big dreams and the destinations that you would want to go, and by destination, I'm not even talking about just a physical place. Are these things that you had seen on television, on magazines? Are there things you were told at school? What is it that helped you draw out this map for your life when everything around you wasn't showing that it could come true?
Okay, I think for me it was church.
Okay.
Because I grew up in a family where my mother was working in a church full time.
Okay.
So she was taking me with to church most of the time. Mm. So it helped to help me to have that mindset.
Yeah.
Because the leaders around, the people that were coming to the church to preach, I think they planted the seed, which becomes what I was working towards.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense. Now, everybody right now knows you as this guy who paid a 20-year bond that, and in the beginning, was 1.3 million rand in 39 months. But what I'm curious about is, do you remember the moment that the 39-month version of your life became non-negotiable? Because I know this is not the first house that you paid off in 3 years. You've done this before. So that moment when you were like, actually, this version of my life, the guy who pays off 20-year bonds in 3 years, this guy is not negotiable. What snapped or what shifted or what spoke to you that day you decided that this is who you're going to become?
Okay, I feel like now everything has already been lined up properly in my life because these are the things that I was doing before. So at the moment, I'm just repeating the same principle. So what happened now is that this house looks like it's expensive, but the principle is the same principle that I did while I was paying off a house of 522,000.
Yeah. Interesting. Yes. And before you even got to pay off that house, what is it that said, this is who I want to become? This is the person that I'm going to be. Is it still those influences from church?
Oh, yes. I feel like the pastors from church, they were just a seed. But I had to go and look for more information.
Yeah.
And then I had my own researches.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I didn't want is a debt. So because when I started working, I went and paid off my, I went and bought my car cash.
Okay.
So the time I started buying houses, I had that mindset of saying I need to pay this house as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Then I had to come up with ways to say, how can I save for that? And then for me, luckily, I had already developed the principle of saving, which to most people, where they have to start is in developing that principle to say you need to have the habit of saving. So so for me, it was already a habit. And then I just needed a goal to say I'm aligning this habit to this goal.
What had you been told or taught about debts that made you think, yo, this is a scary monster, run away, run away?
I think I'm just a person who like calculations. So when I calculated to say, okay, this house, it's 1.3 million. If I have to pay it in 20 years, I would have paid around 3 million.
For
then
sure.
It's more like it's three times what I'm supposed to pay.
Yeah.
So that's what worried me, to say I can't pay a million as 3 million. So let
no
me
sense.
Pay it off as soon as possible so that I can save myself from this high interest and also from all this number of years.
Yeah. You know what I love about you? The fact that you didn't just read the books, but you became the pages. I mean, the things we read about are things we're talking about now. When you read books about people paying off debt sooner than they are contracted to, you became the pages of that book. So I want to know, what made the knowledge stick for you? Why do you think so many people consume wisdom but never convert that wisdom into action?
Oh, yes, that's important. That's important because I always say, even people who buy my book, if you don't implement it,
it won't help you.
That book won't work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the book, it's not magic. You have to put action.
Mm.
So for me, it was like that, to say, I need to put action to all these words.
Yeah.
But I started putting action in 2010 when I started working. That's when I was like, let me start saving.
Mm.
So my journey is mainly about saving, but I just started to have property goals that I met through saving.
Yeah. And, you know, I can vouch for saving. So like you, I also didn't grow up in a privileged home, right? And my mom saved even 10 rand. She saved it because it was the principle. And I watched as she did so many things with the little money that she had. And when I got into the habit, I also saw myself achieving so many amazing things just from the habit of saving. Because I think what habit instills, or what saving instills in you, is that not everything is ought to be consumed right now. You can wait.
Oh, yes.
You can wait.
Yes, that's very important.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this generation of now, I feel like we are more like, we want things to happen now.
Oh, for sure.
And that's the challenge that we are having, because we are not willing to wait.
Yeah.
Because saving, it's a process. Mm. You don't just raise 100,000 in a short period of time.
No.
You have to wait and be consistent and be disciplined again. So there are a lot of things that are required from you as a person.
And, you know, just still speaking on... I've forgotten what I wanted to say. Let's move to the next thing I want to ask you. Now, you just mentioned sacrifice, right? You spoke about the sacrifice that comes with delayed gratification and holding things off. What did freedom cost you? Because the freedom you're experiencing now, when for you, I heard one interview where you said going to a restaurant is no longer a thing. There was a time when it was, because you understood what you're stealing away from, right? So in for you in that moment, it wasn't, I'm not having the steak. It was, if I have the steak now, I'm robbing myself of the money that I could pay off my car or my house or whatever it is. So what did freedom cost you that people never see in the Instagram posts and the YouTube videos?
Yeah, I think my life has been a life of sacrificing. Mm. And then I've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
So today, when you achieve something, a person doesn't see all those sacrifices that you had to go through. Like, for example, I've been working as a civil engineer for 15 years now, but I'm still driving a Polo, which is a sacrifice to say I could afford a better car, but I made a decision to say, let me achieve 1, 2, 3 before I could change a car.
I want you to tell the
story. So there's a lot of those sacrifices.
Yeah. I want you to tell the story of your boot and the glue and the lady who's like, and then when... I need you to tell that story.
that one, it's just an old story. But what happened is that somebody was visiting me, and then she found me fixing a shoe.
Yeah.
And then at the moment, she inboxed me recently, saying, I remember the sacrifices you used to make. I didn't think it's going to turn out like this.
Yeah.
So she was just saying, you are lucky that eventually it worked out for you. But to her, those days, it looked like I was just stingy. But for me, it was those sacrifices I needed to make.
I love that. I remembered what I wanted to say, and you jogged my memory when you mentioned 15 years. You know, someone can look at your recent video, right, and think, he did it in 3 years, and look at their own mortgage that is still left with 17 years and want to do it now, not realizing or not appreciating the 15 years of practice, the 15 years of dedication, the 15 years that preceded this time. So I think if people had the idea or the understanding of really what it takes over time to do the things that look like overnight success, but really had a lot of work and effort put into them, there'd be a better way that we approach our finances and life generally.
Oh, yes, that's important. And I think what people should be comfortable with is starting small. Because I feel like a lot of people, they want to start fancy. You hear somebody saying, I paid off a house in 3 years of 1.3 million, and you want to do the same.
Yeah.
But our expenses are not the same. Yep. And then I've been doing this over a long period of time. So you need to understand that your journey is not going to be a single's journey. Yeah. You are going to have your own journey. You are going to have your own testimony, which is different from mine. But as long as you are implementing those principles.
And if your journey takes 10 years instead of 3 and you did the best you could, that is still a beautiful story.
That's a very great achievement.
Yeah. 100%. Now, I want us to talk about you as an engineer. As an engineer, as a civil engineer, I know you build with structure, with order and logic. But financial freedom also demands a level of faith and instinct and risk. How did you balance precision with the uncertainty, at least in the beginning when you were doing this for the first time?
For me, I think I was fortunate because when we talk about property, it's civil engineering and I studied civil engineering. So it was easy for me to monitor my own projects because I knew that this is how things are supposed to be done. So during those days, I would even go to my project every day. If I'm building something, I will go every day to check the contractors and also advise them in best principle. If there's something which is wrong, I was there to say, no, we need to redo this. So I feel like the background of civil engineering was good for my side business.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, right? You've got the background. Other people don't. And some those people are also people who've said or who've heard people say, listen, property investing is the way to go. You need to invest. So for people who don't have the background, for people who don't even know where to start and what to do, please just give us a little bit of insight into what you know that would serve us who also want to go in that direction.
Oh, okay. I feel like when we are talking about property.
Yeah.
It's not that every investment in property is a good investment. And a lot of people, they feel like as long as I buy a property, this is a good investment. But it's not like that. You still need to know a lot of other things because there are houses in the market that the owners want to get rid of because they've realized that this is a bad investment. And they usually fall in the hands of first-time home buyers because they don't have the knowledge and they don't have they don't know what they are looking for. So it's very important for you to invest on doing research and also attending seminars which are property-based so that by the time you buy, you already know what you are looking for. And I always say sometimes the property, it's not the problem. It's the strategy that you are implementing on the property.
Oh, tell us more.
For example, maybe you are using a house as Airbnb where you are supposed to be using it as a student accommodation. Then what can I say, strategy that you are using, it's a wrong strategy, but the house, it's not a wrong house. So you still need to know the strategy which you are going to implement when you buy a property.
Percy, you've got all these things in your book, right? I know you wrote a book about how to make your salary work for you, but can we find these concepts and these ideas in the book?
Yeah, I feel like in the book, I tried to put as much information as possible.
Yeah.
So it's the right platform to get the information.
And speaking on the book, Percy, I will admit, one day, once upon a time, when I was still young, starting out in corporate, I was like, the white man will never make you wealthy. If you want to build wealth, you have to find other ways of doing it. But here you are with the book that says, actually you can make your salary work for you. I want you to juxtapose what I said in my naivete and my youth with what you've now come to learn about the power of using your salary well.
Oh yes, I feel like we are too quick to hate on our salary. And then there's also a lot of people who are saying getting a job, it's more like being given a medicine to forget your dreams.
Oh my.
Which is not true, because I feel like salary, it's about how you look at it.
For sure.
It's about how you look at it, because salary is a seed.
Mm.
So you must see your salary as a seed, mm, which you are going to invest into your investment goal.
Mm.
So if you eat all your salary, you won't have a seed to invest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes when you see other people eating their fruits,
yeah,
they can make you to also eat your seed, because you think they're eating their seed, but they're eating their fruits.
Percy.
So you have to sow your seed and wait for your time to eat the returns of your investment.
No, you need to say that one again. You are saying to us it's very possible that you are seeing somebody eating their fruit and you are thinking that they are also eating their seed. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm saying when you see somebody eating their fruits, they must not make you to eat your seed.
Mm.
You still need to sow your seed towards your investment goal. And then when you start receiving the returns from your investment, that's when you will start buying those fancy things. Because there's nothing wrong with buying a fancy car.
Absolutely.
But if you buy it from your salary will always grow weak and weak.
Mm.
But if you buy it from the returns of your investment, it becomes easy for you.
So you know what I'm thinking about? I've heard a term, and I know you've heard it too, because you are in the financial education space, that says you must make your money make babies. So you must have money babies, right? And so what you're saying is have your chicken, but eat your eggs. So people are eating their chicken, and then they wonder why they don't have eggs next month.
Exactly.
Now, Percy, if our generation had been raised to chase financial freedom the way we chase job titles and the way we chase those fancy things that money can buy, what would the world look like if we really, really chased financial freedom instead? And I also want you to speak about what lie you think most people still believe about wealth.
Oh, yes. I think there's a lot of people who are advising outside there. So it's very important to see what kind of people am I listening to. Because sometimes you can have a friend.
Yeah.
And then that friend, their advices are not good for your investment goal or your investment journey.
Mm.
So I feel like there's a lot of people who are talking outside there. You need to do your own research as a person and try to find those people that align with where you want to see yourself.
And without getting too surgical, right, and getting into people's nitty-gritties, how do we decipher between good advice and bad advice, just generally?
Yeah, I know, that's a that's a challenging one. Yeah, I will say it's more like the Bible. If you read the Bible and then you know the Bible for yourself, when somebody is preaching something which is outside of the Bible, you are able to detect say this is not the true gospel. So I feel like even in investment, it's more like the same. If you invest in the true information, you'll be able to identify even people who are calling you to invest in things which are scams.
Yeah.
I always tell people that I haven't even lost 1,000 in a scam, because I'm more careful about what I invest in. Because if you're investing in something, you must invest in something that you understand. And then again, you have to also use your common sense to say, if I put 1,000 here, I'm not gonna get 5,000
overnight.
From putting 1,000.
Yeah, yes. No investment grows that quickly.
Yes.
Now, you did write a book, as I mentioned earlier. I want to know what parts of your story never made it into the book, either because they were too personal, too complex, or you were just too scared.
Oh, yes, there was a lot of stories that I didn't put into the book, but it was just the issue of security. I feel like the way I must tell the story, there must be other things that I don't put on the public display. Yes.
And apart from your financial stories, is there something that you feel like if people knew about you, it would either tickle them or it would give them more insight about you as a man?
No. I feel like those ones I've put them, because when I put the book, I didn't just want it to be about finance and investment.
Yeah.
I wanted it to also include the faith, to say, what do I believe in as a person? And I feel like I included that in the book.
Yeah. And just as we double click on it, why a book? Because now information travels so quickly. You can just sit down and record a video. You can go on multiple podcasts. Why did you believe that you needed to give people something that they can sit in their houses with, even with no Wi-Fi and no other voices but just that book? Why did you decide on the book?
Okay, the reason I did the book, it was because I used to host a lot of seminars, and people will ask me to say, where can I get more information regarding what you're talking about? So that was the reason why, one of the reasons why I decided to say, let me just write a book, so that when a person asks me to say, where can I find more information about what you are sharing, I can point them to the book. And then again, just for the next generation, I feel like if you discover something, and then you want to leave it behind for the next generation, the right place to leave it, it's in a book.
And apart from the fact that you wrote it and your experiences are unique, what makes this book different to other financial books? Because there are so many out there in the market.
I feel like for me, it's about practicality. I feel like what draws a lot of people to my story is that it's practical story, things that I'm doing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So it's not like a research about something that is happening in another country.
I'm so curious about you as a person. I really, really am. Because often when we look at things that people achieve, we take them at face value, right? We think it's just about the numbers, it's just about the house, it's just about the knowledge. But there's so much within the man's psyche or the person's beliefs that really informs the things that they do. And now I just want to talk about the idea of money, manhood, and legacy. You know, in a world that defines men by what they own, you chose to define yourself, but by what you owe no one. What did that do to your identity, even your relationships and your sense of manhood?
I feel like it gives you peace because when you have a lot of debt, I feel like it affects your mental health.
Yes, see, it really does.
And then again, at a work environment, I feel like I'm more comfortable in a work environment because I'm not in a competition with people around me because I'm doing my own things, which are generating more money on the side. So it's like I'm not competing with my manager to say I must get my manager's position because I know I'm doing my property stuff, which is generating income.
Also because you realize that it's really not about how much you make, but what you do with what you have, right? So it can be 1,000 rand, it can be 10,000 rand or 100,000 rand. In the wrong hands, that money means nothing.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. And hearing your response makes it sound to me like you, because of the financial freedom you're experiencing, you are able to define yourself truly. You are able to identify yourself truly because who you are is not attached to what you have or what people perceive about you because of what they see. You define yourself truly because of the freedom you've afforded yourself.
Oh, yes.
That's very powerful. So,
yes,
you spoke about legacy and generations to come. What are you planning on teaching your children about money, but also about mastery and freedom and identity?
Yes. I feel like sometimes for some people who are close to you, you don't really have to be focusing on saying, I want to teach them this.
Ooh.
Sometimes by just living your life,
Ooh.
People are learning without you saying, now it's time to teach. About finance.
Yes.
So there are people like my brother, I don't really sit down with him and we talk a lot about money and saving and investing. But I've seen through his journey that he has learned a lot from me as a person in which he is implementing those things in his life without me having to sit down with him and say, it's a class one-on-one.
Yeah. And in any case, more is caught than taught, right? We see things and we follow patterns more than we ever want to follow something we've listened to. Also, because when somebody's teaching us something, we're just like, oh, you're not going to tell me what to do. We always want to make up our own mind. And
yes,
so when
exactly.
we see someone living their own lives and we make up our mind about following them, it feels like our own decision when in any case we have been influenced.
Yes, exactly. But if I had to say I'm teaching them something,
yeah.
I feel like the most important thing for me is that you must control money. You must not let money control you. Because I feel like most of the people outside there, they are being controlled by money. I feel like even in tenders, when people start killing themselves for killing each other for tenders, it's because money is controlling you. You are not controlling money. And even people in marriage, you hear somebody killing the partner because of money. I feel like it's money controlling you instead of you controlling money. So I feel like money should remain an object and we are managing the object.
Oh, that is extremely important. And I want us to double click on that money issue, right? Because if we're completely honest, paying off a bond is math. It's pure math. There's no emotion. There's no, it's just math. But also there's the discipline that you need to see it through. And sometimes discipline can be quite spiritual. So what did this journey heal and reveal or force you to confront about yourself? Because like I said, it wasn't your first rodeo. But what did actually going on this journey reveal about you or force you to confront about who you are and the journey you've walked?
Oh, yes. I feel like it has been a long journey of discipline.
Yeah.
And what I've realized is that discipline is like a continuous thing. You don't do it in a certain area, then you stop. I feel like you must be disciplined in all your life as a person, because it's about where you go as a person. Because obviously, if every weekend you are out there partying, you are not going to be able to manage your finances. So discipline goes even into your lifestyle, into the moral things about yourself. So I feel like finance is more personal. When a person say I'm failing to manage my finances, they are actually saying I'm failing to manage myself.
Yo, you know, I sometimes I believe the statements and sometimes I'm like, but I've seen difference. But I've heard it being said that how you show up for one thing is how you show up for everything.
Yes.
Yeah, because you are the common denominator.
Yes.
So Percy, today when you say I am wealthy, what do you mean? And how has your definition of wealth matured?
For me, I wouldn't say I'm wealthy. I've never looked at myself and say I'm wealthy. I feel like I'm a work in progress.
Okay.
But I believe that I've enjoyed, I think I've enjoyed a lot of financial benefits.
Yeah.
Because when I started, I used to say I live below my means or below my salary. But at the moment, I'm living above my salary because, for example, the money I pay on all my houses, it's more than the money I get from my 9-to-5 job, which means I'm living above my salary without feeling the pressure because of the other investment that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, which is important for us to have multiple streams of income, not to rely on one stream of income.
I absolutely love that. Now, if you could whisper one truth into the ear of every working South African, African, and anybody in the diaspora that's listening to this that is really just trying to stay afloat, what would it be?
I think it will be to say to downgrade, it's not to fail.
Now that
to downgrade, it's to realize that something is not going the way it's supposed to go, and then you are coming up with ways to solve the problem.
Oof. Downgrading is a bit of a touchy one. And not even because of what people will think, but you get so used to a certain way of living, a certain lifestyle, that it really, it's an emotional thing.
Oh, yes, yes. It's a difficult one, because, especially because when you downgrade, everyone who looks at you, they feel like you have failed.
Yeah.
So it's being able to manage how you feel about what people are saying.
Percy, after the book, after the bonds, after the applause, who do you want to become? What's the thing that's calling you next?
Yeah, I feel like there's still a lot of teaching, because when you look at people outside there, you realize that people are struggling financially. Mm-hmm. Most people, they only see their salary just for less than 5 days in a month, which shows that people are struggling with their finances. So the job is still a lot to educate people around the issue of finance, and just to remain consistent. I feel like I'm not doing much of new things. I'm just remaining consistent. But now consistent looks like a lot of things, because your income has increased. So now it seems like you are saving more, and you are achieving your goals more quicker than before, because of the income having grown.
And when it's all said and done, what do you want people to remember about Percy Muraro Singo?
I feel like just if people can remember that salary is a seed, when they remember my name, that's good enough.
And you know, that memory has longevity, because every time somebody eats, they'll remember. Before there was the spinach, there was a seed. When somebody's making reckless decisions, they will remember. You are eating your seed. So that is such a sustainable way to be remembered. How do people find you? How do people interact with you and your brilliant mind?
Okay, I'm on social media. It's on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook as Percy Singo. But I don't have like a contact, like a number for social media, because the demand is a lot. There's a lot of people who want advices, and I've realized that through one-on-one, it's not personal for me alone to assist everyone.
This has been a really lovely chat. Very eye-opening, very convicting. You know, when I started earlier, I said, yeah, man, some people really teach you to dream. And then others just say, you've dreamed enough. Wake up now. Wake up now and do the work. And every time I interact with you and your brand, I'm just like, yeah, Sisi, get up and do the work, because nobody is handed freedom. Nobody is handed a paid up house. Nobody is handed ease. You have to work for it. But also, after you've worked for it, then you can enjoy the fruits that come with it. So thank you for reminding us that our salaries are our seed. And if we steward the seed well, we water it, we put it in front of the sun, we nurture the ground that it is on, and we really do the best that we can, we will eat the fruit. It's just laws of nature. And it doesn't choose Wutsa when your salary is 3,000, yours is 30,000 rand. Principles are principles, and they work for those who work them.
No, thank you so much for the invitation. Thank you.
You have been amazing. Thank you so much. Enjoy your evening. We'll chat again soon.
Thank you.
Cheers, Percy.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.